just be me. If you just believe. Easier said than done. Will you pray with me? God, we give you thanks and praise for this day, for this sacred text, for the challenges and blessings it offers us. Meet us in our unbelief and help us, O God, to believe. We offer you the meditations that rest on our hearts. May our words reflect the transformation that you have blessed us with on this journey. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So we are a couple of weeks on the other side of Easter. The unexpected resurrection of Jesus Christ. Isn't it interesting that no one expected that? Right? I mean, the disciples journeyed with Jesus. Communities of faith experienced Jesus. I thought it's really interesting that nobody he healed had a voice in his resurrection. Something to ponder? Like, you know, the man who was blind and deaf, his voice wasn't in the resurrection. The man who went to the pool of Bethesda all those years and got healing, where was he? Even at the cross, where were these folks Jesus had touched? Maybe they were doing ministry somewhere else. Or maybe they watched silently. Or maybe they were so full of their healing that they got to do all the things they didn't do because they weren't healed. Well, here's the challenge with all of this. We are left with nothing but speculation and assumption. How many of you have ever made a wrong assumption? Oh, that's a poison action on our part, right? You assume that the person in front of you that cuts you off doesn't like you. Or your children. Or even your pet. No, they're just busy doing life and you're in their way. Can I get a witness? I don't need to see any hands, but how many of you have been that person that cut them off? Even if you don't have, yeah, I wasn't trying, right? Maybe we didn't even see him. Maybe we're so busy on our phones that we didn't see the car. I mean, maybe we're so busy singing music on the radio or thinking about needing to get to work or whatever happens when we're driving. All kinds of things happen, right? I'm just saying. Assumptions are really challenging. And unless you really begin to break down, notice, pay attention, they are so fluid in our minds that we don't even notice when we're making assumptions. And the only reason I can tell you this is because I'm continuing to be haunted, and seduced by the book, The Four Agreements. And it comes up in ways I didn't even ask for it. Have you ever had the Holy Spirit visit you in a way you didn't ask for and it wasn't timely or even appreciated? Here we have Thomas. And don't you just love Thomas? Thomas is one of those very essential characters in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We don't hear too much about Thomas until he has his debut around doubting. And, I mean, in that moment, what did Thomas get? Typecast. Right? Typecast. And anybody you meet, any Thomases in the room? Uh-huh. Yeah, don't you have to deal with it? Doubting Thomas. Yeah, it is just kind of a part of, it's an American culture by and large, I'm sure. Although, is it in Canada? Our dear Canada? Huh? When you need it, right? Yeah, it's pretty much when we use it too. So here we have Thomas sitting in that place of doubt. And you know, doubt can become really comfortable. Hello. Have you ever found yourself just kind of resting in this place? You doubt so much that you've convinced yourself that's the absolute. Ralph Marston, one of my most favorite liturgists, writes, "It is easier to doubt than it is to do. When you doubt that you can accomplish something, that doubt gives you a nice, comfortable place to hide, a reason for not making the effort." Ouch. Have you ever said, you know, I'd like to go back to school, but I'm just not smart enough? Doubting yourself, questioning your process. And when people talk to me about that, one of the things that I say to them is, well, guess what? At the end of that risk, you're going to be older either way. So you might as well just step into it and be older with something you doubt you can do than you are being older wondering, could you have done it? If you keep piling up one doubt on top of another, soon there will be no room left for your dreams, your goals, or your ambitions. When you seek refuge in the comfort of your doubts, you close yourself off from all that is possible in life. After a while, even the comfort fades as regret sets in, and regret for opportunities missed that will never come again. If you fail to prove your doubts wrong, then they will eventually prove themselves right. Has that ever happened to anybody? Don't allow that to happen. Ralph Marston encourages us to get up, get going, and make those doubts look foolish. As soon as you start to take action, doubts begin to fade. What did Thomas do? He named his doubt out loud. "And I will believe it's Jesus if I can put my finger in the nail print and my hand in his side." I sat with that and pondered, what's the next layer underneath that, and discovered that I did not ever, I've heard this story since God and I were little kids. I mean, I've heard this story all the way up from the crib. And I realized I had never paid any attention to the fact that Jesus' resurrected body had scars. It made me think about my own hurts in life and the scars that may impact my own life. And what does resurrection look like around those experiences? And it made me realize that it is like the process of forgiveness. Our scars help us remember, but can get in the way of us forgiving. Jesus stood in this place of both forgiveness and continuing his fully human, fully divine presence had flesh and blood for Thomas to put his finger into. And then I saw another place in this text that had not really made an impact on me in my past, and that was they were in the house and Thomas was with them. And though the doors were locked, Jesus stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Is that the same Jesus that comes into my space no matter how many doors are locked around me, no matter how many walls I put up to protect me? I think my assumption is that it is the same Jesus. To open himself up, to invite Thomas to have that tangible experience of touching pain, of touching death, of touching new life. New life. Is that not what we long for? Is that not what the promise of resurrection is? And while they might not have been able to recognize him initially, they could recognize him embodied in the meal they shared together, in the fragility and the wholeness of his resurrected body. This story is not just about Thomas. This story is an invitation to us to spend a little bit of time between the tension of needing to see to believe and exercising our doubt to find truth. Can I get a witness here? Is this just my own, like, working it out, thinking it through? Or have you had that experience? Ralph Marston goes on to say, you can conquer doubt. The way you conquer doubt is in action. Many years ago, almost 20 years ago, well, a little over 20 years ago, I was one quarter of one paper away from my bachelor's degree and quit. I quit because I didn't think I could finish it. I quit because I didn't think I would pass it. Even though I had made A's on the other three quarters, I was just sure this one was going to sink me. And I walked away from my degree and my goal of graduating with my undergrad so that I could go into seminary. I let it all go because I doubted what God was calling me to. I doubted whether I could do it or not. And then I went to 1996 to a retreat, a leadership retreat for the denomination. And Dr. Matthew Fox was there. And he was a keynote speaker, and he said, being called to whatever it is you're called to, being called to the ministry, is much like throwing up. If you need to, at some point you will. I don't know why that one line stuck with me, but it opened me. There's lots of things we do that get in the way of what we're called to do. I did finish that paper. I got a B because I turned it in late. 6 years late. That was the only reason I got a B. But it opened the door for me to continue the process of my call. There's lots of things that get in our way. Doubt has a lot of power over us when we give into it. Taking this tension of doubt and wrapping it around our relationships. Have you ever talked yourself out of having a conversation with your partner or your family member or somebody else you're in community with because you know how it's gonna turn out? And sometimes it turns out that way, but more often than not, when we're willing to have those conversations and we're both bringing our hearts longing to them, we can find a place in the middle to at least agree to disagree, if not find some peace in our relationship and open ourselves up to new life within it. Ralph Marston says, "Wondering about whether or not you can do it will not get it done. The only way to know for sure is to jump right in and get started." Oh, but that is a risky step. That requires energy. That requires action. That requires holy boldness in so many ways. Avoiding the challenge will only make those challenges grow bigger. How many of us have had, like, you know, you have the whole conversation in your head, and that gives you one more reason not to go talk to that person, and then you have another conversation, and before you know it, you've had a fight with them, and you never even sat down. Love you, mean it. Because there's a risk with us being vulnerable. There was a risk for Thomas to believe. To believe the unbelievable. To experience that which seems impossible. If, I love this, if we wait until the conditions are perfect, we will never do it. Great accomplishments are given birth by starting from where you are with what you have. We don't, none of us have all of what we need, but our experience opens us up and helps us learn about what we need to accomplish that which our heart longs for. As soon as you start to take action, you'll begin to replace your doubts with courage and confidence. Have you ever done something you doubted you could do? Anybody? And what happened? What? I can't hear you. You did it! Right? Now, you might have to go back and do it over again. I mean, I've done dieting several times in my life. And it will haunt me, challenge me, invite me, and I'll reach that golden moment and think, I've conquered this, and now I can eat anything I want. Can I get a witness? It's just a lot of hard work, this whole thing about stretching ourselves. I just can imagine what it must have been like for Thomas to reach out, trembling, longing to believe, and yet doubting, and with every inch, the fear is greater and greater and greater until he touches Jesus' nail print. And in that moment, he knows this is real. This is real. The more you do, the more insignificant and powerless those doubts will become. His challenge to us is to stop wondering and start doing. Once you have done it, you'll always know without the slightest doubt that you can. Because those experiences where we doubt and then we experience that doubt has kept us captive, and then we're free, gives us that just that little ounce of courage to go the next step in the next moment of doubt and go beyond it and not let our assumptions be the only reason we don't do something. Not let our fears be the only reason we don't do something. They own us when that happens. And I believe that Jesus died so that we could own them. So that we could have the freedom to own what is our birthright. And while Thomas had to do that physical experience, Jesus gifted us with this statement, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. My friends, I believe that through Thomas's experience, we can believe that Jesus resurrected. We can believe that in his wholeness and in his brokenness, he was fully divine as he was fully human. And isn't that what we're called to be? Both fully human and fully divine in the purest sense of the word? Because when God is in us and flows through us, the divine is in us and flows through us in this human container. So I challenge you, as I challenge myself, let us continue to challenge our doubts and all the assumptions that wrap them, and take a step and jump right into it. Maybe you need somebody to jump with you. Maybe there's jumpers in the room that would freely stand next to you and jump. Anybody, any jumpers in the room? Like you could just support somebody when they jump. So y'all who need a jumper, supporter, see those hands, and reach out. This is hard work, this discipleship. And yet, it opens us up to receive that which we long for, we want, we are hungry for. May we continue in this fully human container to step into full divinity that God has offered us. Will you pray with me? God, we give you thanks and praise for the ways in which you bless us, fill us, feed us, nourish us, empower us. Bless us, O God, with your holy boldness. May we continue to live into all we are called to be and do. In Christ's name, amen.